Welcome to Witness Radio Podcast.
Climate crisis in the pipeline.
This is a podcast of Climate Crisis in the Pipeline.
Dies ist ein Podcast von
Climate Crisis in the Pipeline.
Klimakrise in der Pipeline.
Ein gemeinsames Projekt von
A joint project by Südnordfunk
and Witness Radio Uganda.
Produced every month, starting in March 2024 till August.
Produktion im März 2024.
They told me the land is no longer mine, and I'm not responsible for it yet. They had never paid me.
The pipeline is just 3 meters to my mama's house, and the 3 meters left is her compound.
I was told that no one can stop the government from implementing a pipeline project. They said they can do it wherever they want.
Communities are suffering because they're being displaced from their ancestral land. They're not compensated. Even when they run to court, the case takes forever in court.
You're listening to a third podcast of Climate Crisis in the Pipeline.
Thousands of people in Uganda are affected by the East African Crude Oil Pipeline EACOP project, spanning from the oil production towers and refineries to the pipeline's route and extending to its final destination in Tanzania. The Ugandan government portrays it as a promising project for the development of the country. It often labels those who criticize the project as agents of imperialism. But which effects does the project really have for those on whose land it should be built? To find out, we speak to communities in the Chotera and Luengo districts, two of the 10 districts affected by the oil pipeline, a product of the media partnership of Witness Radio and Südnordfunk.
In addition to the compensation system, Toll Energies is taking on-the-ground action to help drive this geographic area's development. For example, the company is planning to promote energy access. Close to 3 million hours of training will be delivered to inhabitants. The Talanga and EACOP projects will create nearly 80,000 jobs when building the infrastructures, and contracts worth $2 billion have been awarded to local businesses.
The French oil company Total wants to build a pipeline in Uganda and Tanzania. This project of the East Africa Crude Oil Pipeline, EACOP, was first introduced in Nanyua A Village, Nanyua Parish, Ndagwe Sub-County, Luengo District in 2018. Back then, hundreds of people hoped to benefit from it. In several meetings conducted by Total to introduce their project to the affected communities, such as those in Luengo District, it was communicated, the project would offer enhanced support to vulnerable groups including widows, the elderly, persons with disabilities and orphans.
Total often called us in their meetings and they would tell us that everyone would benefit from this project and that they would critically give attention to groups such as widows, orphans and the elderly.
Accordingly, the impacted communities say that the project was highly hyped by its implementers as a pathway to development and wealth. But what turns out are regrets and curses from the would-be beneficiaries of the EACOP project. In areas where the project is passing, they claim it has exposed them to poverty, adversely affected their health, criminalized project critics, affected their social lives and cultures. 9 kilometers from Luengo town in Nanyua A village resides 90-year-old Teresa Nakato, name changed. She suffers from high blood pressure. According to her, her health is deteriorating day by day since the project implementers expressed interest in her land. Before the project, she was living happily and enjoying her old village life.
There are many things that have changed in my life. For example, the pipeline passes through my compound just 3 meters to where my house is, and this has caused hypertension to me because of the stress of thinking what is next for my life. But for the past years, I have been living well without these kinds of diseases. But look, these are the benefits I'm reaping from the project.
During our visit to her home, a brick-structured four-roomed house surrounded by a small farm of 2 cows and goats, she was still locked in her house by 9 a.m. in the morning at the time we reached there. Next to her home is her son's house, also located on the same piece of land. He too is affected by the earcop. Due to her illness, the old widow could not speak much, so her son assisted her in speaking with us. The East Africa crude oil pipeline is supposed to pass right through her compound. The construction work has not yet started, but signs that it's about to start can be witnessed.
The pipeline is just 3 meters to my mama's house, and the 3 meters left is her compound. The pipeline will cross through the compound, and she'll have nowhere to do her chores from. In fact, she appears to be locked in a cell.
She's worried that her house may be damaged due to heavy trucks and machines constructing the pipeline, and also stressed because of the poor composition. Along with other effects, it has worsened her health. For example, her family has to spend more than 50 euros every month on medication, money she does not actually have. She received some compensation for the land taken for the project, but she says it was inadequate to improve her life. Instead, it's used up quickly by her sickness.
The project has brought nothing but havoc to me and my family. It's the time when my mother got sick and all the money that was given to her as compensation was used up for her medication. She's no longer able to walk, therefore I incur a lot of costs in transporting her to get her monthly hypertension medication.
Her son is wondering where his mother can sleep in future not to be exposed to the permanent stress. The project refused to relocate her or build her another house. According to Nakato, initially she'd been told by Total she'd be relocated elsewhere, even a new beginning, in a place far away from the pipeline. But these were empty promises, well intentioned to force her surrender of the land to the project. When she sought relocation due to the imminent impact on her and her house, this is what the project implementers responded.
These people always tell me that it must first get cracked or fall.
Before another house is built for her, 90-year-old Nakato is not the only one to cry out on the impacts of the EACOP project on her land and home. Lawyer Brighton Ariempa is advising affected community members and representing some of them in court. In a video interview with us, he too says being displaced from their land is one of the biggest impacts on communities.
Communities are suffering because they're being displaced from their ancestral land. They're not compensated. Even when they run to court, the case takes forever in court. I'm working on a case that was filed in 2014. I was so young, I was still in secondary. But that case, up to date, 10 years down the road, the case is yet to be decided. But you're looking at, you've taken away someone's land, and you know how land is very important in the context of Africa, in the context of Uganda, to be specific, that when you have land is that, you know, you have what to eat, you can get school fees to, you know, to support your children. So we know how land is important in terms of creating livelihoods for communities, for families. But now you're taking away someone's land and then you're not compensating them. And yet you have law that really highlights on how you can compensate and take land for public interests.
While the government is allowed to acquire land for public interest, the acquisition should follow due process. This has often not been the case for the EACOP project. He emphasizes community members have the full right to demand adequate compensation.
Some people think that government compensating them, it's just helping them, and which is not. These are inherent rights. So we want them to know some of these basics so that they can negotiate, they can have better compensation rates, that they're not cheated. If they're given to land, they know that, okay, I should get land equivalent to the land that was taken away.
Similar concerns about injustices caused by the project are echoed in the neighboring Chotera district. Residents report of a feeling of powerlessness. They are being told they have no choice but to surrender their land for the project and must accept the compensation offered, as it's a government initiative that cannot be halted. Likewise, landlords too are complaining. Uganda has four land tenure systems under which a person can hold land, including the Milo land, freehold, leasehold, and customary. In these particular areas of Chotera, most of the project affected persons are living on Milo land tenure system. Here, the landlord owns the land while tenants may have rights to use the land, but lack full ownership unless granted by the landlord through purchase with a land title. Mr. Sechewa Bendikto is a landlord in Lusese village, Chotera district. The village thrives mainly on agriculture. During our visit, coffee, maize, and bananas are growing. Sechewa says about 7 of his tenants were affected by the pipeline, but blames government and project implementers for not educating him and other affected people about the project's adverse effects.
Amafuta gajja ga baga tuletera oba galetebwa kubanga fiti tunabimanya.
We lack complete information and details about how this project will be conducted. This project was introduced to us without proper education or consultation. We were merely informed that it was a government initiative. We were not told how we would benefit from this project or how the government would assist us. However, since it is a government project, we had no way of refusing whether you like it or not.
As a landlord, Sechewa claims he's not benefited from the project as promised. He says he was never consulted or informed about how the valuation of his land was conducted.
Imbera yaffe teyali nti twalambikibwa kubanga buli omu ng'ajja ayogera kiki. Tekwaliko kulambika kutuufu kwa bannannyini ttaka nti ki.
We were not informed as owners of land that this is what we are to be compensated or what was valued from our land. As village people, we miss out on certain things because we are ignorant. To make matters worse is when the government isn't clear on the exact valuation.
Kakati badirira mu mbeera emu oba endala ffe tusigala tukoseddwa kubanga ekintu ekiriko nti kyali kya kitaawo ne kibanga tebazze kukirambika na kutumanyisa nti ekintu gundi
discontented because we do not know the exact amount we're supposed to be given. We were left with nothing to do apart from looking on.
The landlord, who resides no more than 300 meters from where the pipeline will pass, continues to lament the lack of consultation. As a landlord, he fears that further effects are still awaiting the village.
Ebiva mudumo ngawe tubiwulira gukosa abaguliranye n'abaguliko ekirala o empimo oba
ebimo bya. The pipeline, as we understand, affects the people living near and around it. For instance, my son's home is very close to where the pipeline will pass, and I fear that the vibrations from the construction machinery might damage or even destroy his house. Many of the houses here in our community are semi-permanent and could be significantly impacted. The authorities have stated that the project area does not include those land, so they will not be responsible for rebuilding them if they are damaged.
Kakati mu mbeera emu nze nnyinza okugamba nti tubeeraliikirivu nnyo olw'embeera y'ebyamafuta.
The pipeline could negatively affect our food crops in various ways. Another issue concerns the demarcation of the project land. We worry that as construction progresses, the project may encroach beyond its boundaries onto people's land.
In the same village, Salongo Chigonya Vincent was promised compensation for his two pieces of land affected by the pipeline project, but received less than the amount originally valued.
Bampite masaka mu hotel. Ni basaye ningisa sente nyingi necha nemunisa. Bampa ko milioni 3.8. Bali basaye ningisa milioni 2.8.
I was called to a certain hotel in Masaka and made to sign a lot of money on a more than 30 pages document. They're saying 28 million, about 6,960.98 euros, for two plots of my land where the project passed. But to my surprise, received only 3,800,000 equivalent to 938.73 euros on my account, and they went mute.
As with the others, we meet the man at home. Meetings in public are too dangerous. Few days before our visit, the villagers were warned by security forces not to speak to journalists. Although he received low compensation, his two pieces of land were forcefully taken. For now, he still has his house on the land that is not his any longer. But where his crops were, the land was reserved for the project.
Government. Yes, bocha chibali pangamu. Batu sayi ni ingisanga na hebo mani mpapula za nzungu, haba mtetu wa soma, katingatu ina chakola. Ati nzina wakama, mwanga duke sayi ni inga, tukenda kuwa sentezo, sentezo ziji na kuja kwa account. Nyecha malakwe mviri kumutwe.
I was told that no one can stop the government from implementing a pipeline project. They said they can do it wherever they want. They made us sign documents in a language which we don't know, as, you know, they were in English language. Yet some of us are not educated, and no one could translate for us. So we had no option but to sign, and we had no consent, but rather forced to surrender our land. They told me to sign the document, promising me that my money would be sent on my account. But to my surprise, they said none can stop the government's activities.
Lawyer Brighton Ariampa points out that the compensation is oftentimes too little. The government agencies take the value of land from years back, but only pay it later when the land would be worth much more.
The problem is that even when they take your land, they put cut-off dates that from today you're not going to be using your land as they're working on compensation. For example, whose land was taken in 2012 and they were compensated in around 2015. But you see, land appreciates every day. The price of land today is not the price of land the next day.
Villager Chigonya faced another challenge besides the compensation. One of his pieces of land accommodated grave sites of his deceased twins, requiring their exhumation and relocation. Total lent a hand in facilitating the relocation of the graves and also promised to support ceremonies after relocation, including celebrations of twin rituals. In Buganda culture, Buganda Kingdom, where Chigonya belongs, one has to perform twin rituals celebrating their birth, as well as twin rituals of the graves of twins being exhumed and relocated, due to cultural beliefs and traditions associated with them. In the same culture, twins are considered sacred and hold a special spiritual significance. When twins pass away, their graves are typically treated with reverence, and the relocation or disturbance of these graves can be seen as disrupting the spiritual harmony and traditional practices. To restore this and honor them, the Baganda perform specific rituals after the graves are exhumed or relocated. But up to date, the rituals for Chigonya's twins remain unperformed. The project implementers did not fulfill their promises, and the father doesn't have the means on his own. According to his conviction, not performing these rituals is exposing his family to significant consequences, including poverty and body burns.
Nabalongo bange atabalongo babulabe eri family yange ngasibalude ebisanzo binababi mpa.
In my family, twins are very dangerous if you do not perform their rituals. I was helped by ECOP in exhuming their remains and transferring their graves from that land which the project took over, but the rituals for sending them off were not performed. And I must perform that ritual. We had earlier made an agreement of trust to each other that they would help me if I am to relocate their remains. But they breached the agreement, because when you relocate twins, you have to redo their rituals. But I had nothing to do, because the ECOP removed them forcefully.
Not far from Chigonya's home is Mr. Bowe Ismail in Bethlehem village. The man in a red shirt is limping, his left leg lame. He's a father of 20. His family is living in misery after the project took his entire land without compensation, he says.
They told me the land is no longer mine, and I'm not responsible for it yet. They had never paid me. They said my land now belongs to them, whether I accept the little money or not, and I literally left the land for them.
When he demanded to be compensated fairly, he was in return intimidated, arrested, and charged with false offenses by state authorities, claiming he was sabotaging the government project. In Uganda, criminalization is one of the tactics used by multinational companies, government, or its big shots to silence community, land, and environmental defenders, project critics as well, for raising the adverse impacts on projects being established. In one of the cases, Bowe found himself arrested, supposedly because he had robbed a certain rich man. Total offered to lend him support with the legal fees and representation in court, only if he allowed to sit with them on table and accept the compensation. Bowe refused. One day, he found government representatives waiting for him at the house of the village chairman.
abasirikale okuvanga banda zinti bavudde mu office ya president bazio kunsinkana bagala kumanya kyechengana okusayininga era ko olwo nyinga kuna musambo ekipapula kyabwe kibampa okigwako olwo lwebajja zajje moto kanga mwindi akati ko olwo kyashigwako olwo lwebajja ne bajja ne batuma kiyamani kyamani nakinetera wano sawa zalinga mu tano obajja sawa nga musambo nagenda okula kiyamani nga ajjanga nnona nga ngamba waliwo abakwetaaga wali ngamba gaba neetaaga watu basawa kujja wano nti aa bakwagala bali wali banyi nti ntambula nengenda olwatuukayo sanga wamagye sanga wabasajja abanene badda mu kooti sasisa ne bagamba ssebo gwe omwami bwowe nti ssebo tuzze ffe tusembayo era tuvudde mu ofisi ya pulezidenti kuba nabuuza muvudde wa tuvudde mu ofisi ya pulezidenti pulezidenti yatumye tujje tukusinkane tumanye lwaki wasayininga lwaki sente zo twazifuna nembanyonyola obuzibu bwali ne bagamba kati ssebo kati ffe tukubuulidde ekisembayo sente oba tozaagala tuli wadde mbogenda okuwabira gavumenti.
On reaching where they were, I found soldiers and big men that started intimidating me. They first asked me if I'm Mr. Bwawe, and I said yes. I asked them where they were coming from, and they answered that they're from State House, and they are the supreme authority. They asked me why I didn't sign the document, and I explained to them what transpired. They told me the final thing is that if I don't want money, it's fine. I'm free to sue the government, but I must accept the fact that my land was taken. I was so frightened that day that it came to a point when I was fearing sleeping in my house for some days.
He also says he was arrested twice for made-up charges and still suffers physically from his time in prison, often lauded to cause significant development to communities and boost the country's economy by government. It is also real that the EACOP project is not community-led and has inflicted a lot of pain on would-be beneficiaries.
I lost my job, and I used to spend a lot of transport coming to this place since I was working from Kampala because they had promised me that they would pay for my land. They took my land, and initially they found me when I had three wives, each having children, but the wives were taken from me. That company has over-oppressed me. I've lost a lot because of it, and my heart is grieved.
All that the people ask is this, that government ensures the project is community-led and beneficial for them.
The government
I would like if the government comes on ground to help me. It should come and evaluate my property and compensate me. If they want my land, we should have a roundtable discussion and we agree on the money that I want because it's my property. If we agree on the money I want, then I'll sell my land to them. But as of now, I am not content with what happened.
Most of the individuals affected by this project are dissatisfied but feel unable to voice their complaints because it is a government project and they are witnessing how their neighbors are being intimidated. Mr. Segawa Abdallah, chairman of an affected village in Nanyua A, confirmed this sentiment. According to NAPE, about 170 villages are affected by EACOP in Uganda. In Abdallah's jurisdiction, there are 38 families. He too, as an affected person, expresses dissatisfaction with the project.
I am also one of those people affected by the EACOP project. The way they valued my land was unfair, but they gave me the total amount for all the land and crops. I totally did not understand their valuation process.
We meet him in the center of the village. He shows us around. There are some shops and simple bars where the inhabitants can come together after tilling their gardens. Arriving at his house, he says it's high time the persons in charge ensured those in the villages can continue to live well.
But then, Saba, abantu abo abemulugunya bayambwe kwecho kibasaba okula nti kibayambibwa nga onga abakadde omudumo gwayita kumpi ne nyumba mukadde azimbwe nyumba endala asengulwewo asobole okula nti awundi omudumo.
I pray that the residents are helped with all their pressing issues. For example, the pipeline was built
passing next to an old woman's house. She should be built another house and relocated far away from the pipeline, which is prone to cause problems for her. Those whose land was undervalued to be properly valued and compensated. Those asking for food should also be given, because all people have a right to food.
Soon, oil should flow through the village. Will inhabitants then have a new place to unite and work from? This place still seems far. Many negotiations must still be led, and Total and the government must eventually listen to those living right next to the planned pipeline.
Thank you for listening to Witness Radio Podcasts.